late. My name is Lance, and I serve as a lead pastor. We are about to jump into our series entitled Legacy. This is actually the last message of this series that we started in January. But first, I want to give my man Aaron here. Y'all give it up for Aaron. This is Aaron Rooks. Aaron serves as our youth leader, him and his awesome wife, Jasmine. And so he has a quick thing he wants to talk about, and that shirt he's got on. Go ahead, champ.
So, real quick.
Hold on. Did I turn it on, champ? There you go, big face. Sorry.
So, real quick, last week we had an amazing turnout. Like I talked about last Sunday, we started our series called Pardon the Interruption, and it was really a question for our students that we asked them, are you living an interrupted life? And what that means is, are you living a life where Jesus Christ, the gospel, has interrupted your life, where maybe you were walking one way and it was interrupted and now you're walking another way? So if you're in middle school or high school, we don't want you to miss this series. So come out 6:45 right here. The middle school will meet in Go Kids and high school will meet in here. Also, as you can see, I have this awesome shirt on that I did not design because I'm terrible at designing. But we are selling these for $10, and if you cash or check, and if you make a check, please make it out to Bethel Community Church. Everything that you give goes back to our students, to any trips we go on, anything. So please support the ministry and the next generation. So
tremendous.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Aaron. All right, guys, for this message, you can turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to have multiple communicators today. I'm going to kind of introduce the message today. And then we have two other people that are going to come and communicate. One of them is going to be by FaceTime, so it's going to be a lot of fun this morning. Matthew chapter 4. You know, we've been in this series entitled Legacy. And we've been talking about that as followers of Jesus, we are called to leave a legacy. We're called to leave something behind. And we've talked about one of the ways of doing that is getting involved in the local church that you're a part of, jumping into Starting Point. Thank you guys who have signed up for Starting Point. It's really, you find out in Starting Point all about Bethel. You get involved in the life. That's your first step that you take. We talked about getting involved in a community group. Many of you guys have done that. If you have not, you can still do so today, getting engaged in the life of the church. But today, Pastor Richard said something that was so great last week. He talked about how, as a follower of Christ, when you say yes to Jesus, there is a circle that is drawn around you. And that circle does not just include your family, your job, your hobbies, and your likes. In fact, when you give your life to Jesus and the gospel becomes a part of your life, it becomes who you are, the circle that is drawn around you really is drawn around the world. The world, God has called each and every one of us to the nations. You know, I think about raising my children. As I'm raising my children, and I talk to them about, you know, how they should act, their dreams, what they should do and don't do. Why do we do that as parents? We do that because we want our children to grow up and be successful, to go and do something, not just to sit around our house and live there the rest of their lives. That would be miserable. Some of you probably have something like that. You need to get out, get a job, get married, go do something. But for some reason, as the church, we think that we get right with Jesus, but yet we think he just wants us to come and sit and not do anything. God is our Heavenly Father. He has gotten a hold of our lives. He's called us out of darkness because he has a mission for us. He has something for us to do. He doesn't want us just to sit around and not do anything, but he wants us to go for him. And as we'll see, he wants us to go and be involved in reaching this world. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has showed up on the scene. And he's just gone through a temptation. He was hungry. He fasted for 40 days. He was hungry, and the enemy shows up. And the enemy begins to tempt him. And after the temptation, angels come and minister to him. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, as Jesus is walking out of the wilderness, he comes and he says this: from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As you read your New Testament, what you see is Jesus talking about the kingdom is mentioned over 80 times in the New Testament. This coming kingdom was very important to Jesus. In fact, when you think about the kingdom, it's actually called, smart people call it, inaugurated eschatology. It simply means that the kingdom has come, but not yet fully. This is why you and I are here. We are here because Jesus Christ, he has come, he has set up his kingdom, but yet it has not fully come. And he has turned to us as his followers, and he has handed you and I the mission to be a part of bringing about that kingdom. Now that amazes me, that God would choose me to bring about something that is very important to him, that he would trust me, that he would place that mission in my hand as a follower of him. He could have done it many ways, but yet he chose you and I. He chose, again, to call us out of darkness and to give us the message of the gospel and to go and see his kingdom come and his will be done ultimately in the nations of the earth. See, this is God's mission. God's mission, what is God all about? He tells us that his mission is to cover the earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. We were dead, the Bible tells us, dead in our sin, but yet Jesus has made us alive. Therefore, this earth that the people in this earth that don't know Jesus, guess what? They're dead. And guess who they need? They need Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But yet he has placed this mission in our hands to go for him, to run for him. You know what? Growing up, one of my dreams that I had was I wanted to play college football. And I specifically wanted to play in the SEC. Because the SEC is the greatest conference in college football, if you did not know. Some of y'all didn't clap about that. Y'all must be from up north. Where are they from, Pastor Richie? Come on, we're in the South. The SEC is the greatest conference in college football. The problem was, I didn't get recruited by many SEC teams, Pastor Richard. But I was good at baseball as well. And so, I got a full scholarship to play baseball at a community college in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Okaloosa, in Okaloosa County. Say that three times fast. Okaloosa Community College to play baseball. Full scholarship. Now, that's pretty good. I don't want to brag on myself, but that's pretty good. Because most people don't get full scholarship when it comes to baseball because baseball don't have much money. I was Panhandle Conference Catcher of the Year, Pastor Richard. Well, you should be bragging on me. Not me doing this. I was Catcher of the Year. Man, I was doing great, but yet, what I had a dream. I wanted to play college football in the SEC. So I called my parents up, Dr. Brad. You would hate for me to be your son. Called my parents up, and I said, Dad, Mom, I'm so glad I got a full scholarship, but I want to leave this full scholarship, and I want to walk on to Ole Miss to fulfill my dream of playing college football. Now, some reason, my mom and dad said yes to that. Now, I encourage you as a parent, you might want to rethink that. Because a full scholarship compared to walking on means mom and daddy don't pay, mom and daddy do pay. So they were willing to pay to allow me to go to Ole Miss to fulfill this dream that I had of playing college football in the SEC. So I got there to Ole Miss. I was on the team, moving up the ranks, doing real good. But then I noticed there was a quarterback that was being recruited by Ole Miss. And his name was Eli Manning. Thank you. Thank you for suffering with me. In fact, what was happening at that time, there was a coach at Tennessee who coached Peyton, who was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator. And he had just gotten a head coaching job at Ole Miss. His name's David Cutcliffe. David Cutcliffe, that's his name? Yes, Coach Cutcliffe, that's right. David Cutcliffe, he's at Duke now. So here comes Coach Cutcliffe. He loved Peyton. And I'm thinking, obviously he's going to love Eli as well. Who doesn't love the Manning family? And they're recruiting Eli Manning. And so here comes, what do? I get on the phone, call Mom and Daddy again. Mom and Daddy, guess what? Eli's showing up. I got to go. I'm coming home. I'm going to go to Middle Tennessee and see what happens. So Eli shows up, totally ruins my dream. One day I'm going to write a book, How Eli Manning Ruined My Dream. But the good news is he actually pushed me into my destiny. Because it was at MTSU where I gave my life to Jesus Christ. God got a hold of me. It's so funny how God works. I had to go all the way. Now, my dream of playing, I still got this dream, Pastor Richard, but I'm 38 years old. It's going away. I mean, it's slowly but surely. Thank you, Ryan. It is, brother. It's gone. Thank you. Thank you. But here's what I'm happy. Here's what I'm thankful for. What I'm thankful, at least I can look back and I can live my, I can say I gave it all and I can live with no regret. I have no regret. Now, my parents might, but I don't. Because I stepped out. At least I went for it. Now, why don't we treat the mission of God that way as well? But see, what happens, it's only because we're human and we have families. I understand. You can't be like Pastor Richard now. You got a real job. You can't sit around and read your Bible all day long. I mean, we understand. But yet, why don't we treat the mission of God the way we treat our workplace? Because in your workplace, most of us work really hard. You live with no regrets at your workplace. Some of us do a good job with our, we live with no regrets with our family. But when it comes to the mission of God, what do? We distance ourselves at times from this mission, say, and that's why I give money to church, so Pastor Richard, Pastor Travis, Pastor Ron, all those crazy guys, they can do the mission. But yet, what we see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says that he has done what? It's called the Great Commission. He looks at his disciples, which are followers of Christ. They were not full-time pastors, full-time ministers. They were simply followers, just like you and I. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of the nations of the earth. What was he saying? He was basically putting it in layman's terms, summarizing his mission of what? Covering the earth as the water, his glory covered in the earth as the waters cover the sea. Why don't we, as followers of Christ, begin to look at this mission that Jesus has given us and begin to treat it in a way so that we get 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, that we don't look back and say, man, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have been more involved. I wish I'd have gone on that mission trip. I wish I would have supported that missionary. Why don't we begin to live with no regrets when it comes to this mission? When it comes to seeing the nation. See, he said, go therefore and make disciples of what? The nations of the earth. This is the year of legacy we've been talking about. This is the year for some of you guys to jump in and go on a missions trip. To live like you've never lived before. To say, God, just like Pastor Travis said, I am jumping in. I am trusting in you. See, the call is not, we sometimes treat that Great Commission statement in Matthew 28 as to make disciples of individuals. Just as, our, yes, and he is talking about that. But what he says is to make disciples of who? The nations. We are called to literally disciple nations, to see entire nations change for the glory of God. This is happening in Manila, Philippines. Some of you guys actually heard Pastor Steve Merle. He spoke here this summer, and he talked about what God was doing in the nations. And in Manila, Philippines, we are literally, our churches there are discipling that nation. We have over 100 services that meet every single Sunday morning, and they're reaching over 100,000 people. 100,000 people. They're discipling a nation. Guys, we have to think much bigger. Again, what does the circle do? The gospel, it grows that circle, what? Around the world. We're called to the nations. We have a missionary here at Bethel who's very dear to us. She actually went this past 6 months and has been spending time in the nation of Haiti. She feels this call to be a full-time missionary. And she's one of our great missionaries here at Bethel. And I want you guys to give a big hand clap for Adrian. Adrian, come on up here, sweetheart. Adrian recently got back. She's here talking about with some people what God is doing, raising some necessary funds because she's going back. And she doesn't really know how long she's going back for. That's a missionary for you right there. They buy a ticket just to go, not to come back. But I wanted Adrian because she just got off the mission field. She's one of our great missionaries here at Bethel. And I wanted her just to talk to you guys about this whole idea of us getting involved in reaching the nations. And really give a testimony of what's going on, what has happened in the nation of Haiti this past 6 months. Let's give it up one more time for Adrian. Come on, Adrian.
So good to be back here at Bethel. Bethel's home for me, so I'm really glad to be back. I love what Pastor Lance is saying. This is something I'm so passionate about. But it can be so easy to hear, like, we're called to reach the nations and feel overwhelmed because what can I do? You know, like, I'm this, you know, small person. I can't reach a nation. And I can sit here and I can tell you, you know, how many millions of people are going to die every year without the gospel and all these crazy statistics that will blow your mind, but they're not necessarily going to compel you to action. And that's the point. The point isn't for us to hear these things and be sad. The point is for us to hear them, know that we can make a difference and go out and do it.
Good.
And so we look at, you know, the story of Jesus in the Gospels, and he was always surrounded by people. And everywhere he went, there was people everywhere. And Jesus saw the masses, but he touched the individual. And over and over and over again, you see that there was a crowd of people, but he saw the one.
Yeah.
And he healed the one, and he spoke to the one, and he restored hope in the one. And so really, that's what our call is as we go to the nations, God is calling us to reach the one person, to reach the individual who is then going to go forward and reach many more people. And so I'm going to share with you guys some stories of kind of what's happened. And that's, my stories are all stories of the individual, of the one person who was impacted.
Good.
Because really, at the end of the day, I can go and I can, you know, talk to a lot of people, but there's something that happens when I know that one person was impacted, because I know that that one person will never be the same again. So one of the things that I was able to do while I was there is I was able to teach at our Bible study. We have a women's Bible study that we do every Tuesday night for the ladies there. And so I taught at that. I was there every week, and I taught usually every other week. And so in a church of about, I would say, 250, they would have anywhere from 30 to 50 ladies coming every week. And so that community, there's over 7,000 people. There's no way I can possibly go and speak to 7,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to happen. Even if I spend the rest of my life there, it won't happen. But I can speak to these ladies, these 30, 40 ladies who show up every week. I can preach the gospel to them. I can, you know, talk to them about evangelism, inspire hope in them, and then they're going to go out and reach their community. Because one, they know the community better than I do. They have relationships, and they know the language. And so I was able to go and empower them and equip them to go out and reach their community, which is then going to reach the communities around them. The next story, there's a little boy. His name is Aaron. And while I was there, all my mornings were spent at the clinic. So I would go and I would give out medication to all the people who came. We have a clinic that sees anywhere from 30 to 60 people a day in like a 3-hour time period. So it's really busy. And we have people who walk 4 and 5 hours up mountains because they need Tylenol because they have a headache. You know, just imagine, you have a headache, you go to Walmart. They have to walk 4 or 5 hours to get Tylenol for their headache. And so one morning, this little boy, his name is Aaron, came to the clinic, and I heard him in the waiting room because he was just crying the whole time he was there. And so I went back to see what was going on with him. He was, when he came to us, 2 months old, and he weighed 6 pounds. He's really, really tiny and just cried because he was hungry. He didn't have anything to eat. His mom had a problem nursing. He just wasn't eating. And so I was able to spend some time with him. We were able to give him some formula and just educate them about, you know, they don't know. Imagine, you know, his parents are young. Imagine your first child.
Yeah.
How overwhelmed you are.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're 16 or 25 or 40. It's overwhelming. And these people are young and they have no access to education. They had the baby at home. They don't have doctors. They don't have hospitals. They're just figuring it out. So we're able to spend some time with Aaron and his parents and educate them about formula and how to feed him and, you know, getting him to gain weight and all of that. And so a few weeks later, I walk into the orphanage at the end of the day and I see Aaron there with his dad. And we just, in talking to the director, a few weeks after he had come to the clinic, the mom was just overwhelmed. It was too much, and she left. And so she left the dad and the baby alone, and they don't know where she went. And so this dad is so young, and for 2 weeks he tried, which doesn't seem like a long, but that's a long time. He tried to take care of me, he just couldn't do it. He didn't have enough food himself. And so he remembered the clinic. And he remembered that we helped him. And so he came back to the only place that offered hope for him. And so we were able to take his baby. And now I wish I had a picture of Aaron. You don't even recognize him.
Praise
Within,
God.
You know, a week, he gained so much weight. He's a normal, healthy, yes. happy, thriving baby now because his dad had somewhere to bring him. And so many, you know, you hear so many stories of parents abandoning their children on the side of the road, but he had somewhere that he could bring him that offered hope. And so Aaron has a future now, and Aaron has a life and a destiny that he's going to be able to fulfill there was somewhere to bring him.
Good, Aiden.
So this next little girl is very, very special to me. If you're on my Facebook, you've seen a million pictures of her. This is Abilene. And when I first met Abilene, I had been at the mission for probably 6 to 8 weeks, and I had never seen her before. There's not that many kids in the orphanage. Like, I should have seen her, but she was just very quiet, doesn't really stand out. And there was just something about her. The first time I saw her, I thought, like, someone was holding her, and she just looked so sad. I thought maybe she was sick. But then I kept seeing her, and she's always looked so just sad. There was no hope in her eyes. There was no life. It was just vacant. And I remember just God broke my heart for her, and she was my mission. She was that I was going to see her smile. And so I remember this was the first time I ever held her. And I remember just praying for her and singing over her and just, you know, believing that God was going to do something in her. I thought about her all the time. And then the next time I held her, she kind of smiled a little bit. And I remember taking a picture of it, and I was so excited. And the lady, Miss Lynn, who actually started the ministry, told me after she saw my picture, she said, "I've never seen Abilene smile before." And she's 3, and she's been there since she was 8 months old. They've never seen her smile. They had never seen life in her. And so, man, I cannot tell you what that does to somebody. And so over the next, you know, several weeks, every day I would go see her, I would talk to her, I'd play with her. And every day she just kind of, you know, became more alive. So this next picture was taken about 2 weeks ago. And if you look at these two pictures side by side, which is coming, it's not the same little girl. This is not the same girl that I saw for the first time.
Wow.
And that's because, you know, there's something powerful that happens when someone loves you.
Yeah.
And we take that for granted, you know, like you look at, you know, in our nursery, we can drop our babies off. They're going to be loved. Like some of these kids, they've never known the love of family before. And so if for nothing else, I know there's lots of reasons God sent me to Haiti, but I know that God sent me to Haiti to show Abilene she's not forgotten.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
There's something good. That's powerful that's happening. And even now, after I'm gone, they're sending me pictures every day of she's smiling and laughing. And she's a different child because she knows that God loves her and that she isn't forgotten by him. So the last little boy I'm going to tell you about is someone who is also very special to me. His name is Josiah. And when they first found Josiah years ago, he was 9 months, and he only weighed 4 pounds. Miss Lynn found him. She was doing a feeding program for the community. It was before the ministry even started. She was feeding them on Easter, and she saw this mom who had two twins, and was feeding them rice. And she was like, "Why are you feeding them rice? Like, those are infants." They're like, "No, they're 9 months old." So she went to the woman's home and saw the babies, and Josiah was just so small. And she just couldn't believe that he was even alive. I mean, can you imagine 9 months and 4 pounds? And so she took him outside, and she held him, and she just prayed. She said, "God, if this baby lives, then I know that I'm supposed to start a ministry here."
Wow.
"And if he doesn't, then, you know, then I know that that's not what you have." And so today, Josiah is 6 years old, and he's thriving. He is a normal, happy, healthy, I mean, this child has a destiny on his life. And his twin brother is also, they're being adopted by one of the ladies at the mission. And you think about that, I mean, he was so small. He was on the brink of death. And because Miss Lynn was faithful to love the one child, to reach out to the one child, to touch that one child, a ministry was birthed. Now there's more than 60 children who have a home. Now we have hundreds of people who come in every week to the clinic who get medical care. Now we have a church. Now we have a school where over 100 children in the community are getting an education. You know, we have all these things that are happening in the community because they were faithful and obedient to God to touch the one.
Yeah.
And so that's my encouragement to all of you as you're thinking about going on a mission trip. Don't think about all the millions of people out there who need to hear the gospel. Don't think about all the people who are hungry and who are in need, because that's overwhelming. Think about the one, because there are ones on the other side of your obedience, and they may never hear the gospel otherwise. We've had hundreds of people come through the orphanage, and no one has been able to make Abilene smile. That's not because I'm special. Trust me, I'm not that special. But it's because God used me to connect with her, and I don't know why. But what if I had never gone? How much longer would it be until Abilene smiled? How much longer would it be until she was, you know, happy and experienced joy? And so think about that one. Think about the one person that you're going to touch, the one person that God is going to use your story to impact them. And maybe you can't go. Maybe, you know, with your work schedule, or you have all small children, and it's just not possible. There are lots of people who are going on mission trips, and you can't give to everyone to go, but you can give to the one missionary. Yeah. You can sow into the one ministry. You can partner with the one person who's going to go and make an impact. And so that is my encouragement for all of you guys. Don't be overwhelmed. Hear the stories. Know that there's one person that's waiting for you, and be compelled. Do something about it. Don't just sit here and hear my nice stories and walk away and forget about it. Let this be the moment that everything changes for you. Let this be the moment that you hear the call of God and you're obedient to it and you follow what Good. He's calling you to do.
Amen. Come on, Adrian. Good job. Thank you, sweetie. You know, there's actually about 250 different nations. And as a ministry, we're in about 80 nations, so we have a lot of work to do. But we believe that one leader equals one nation. One leader equals one nation. One man, one woman that got the call on the God that has the call of God on their life can change everything in a nation. Can change everything. See, this was actually the call that Adam and Eve received in the book of Genesis. God designed Adam and Eve. They were supposed to take the relationship that they had with God. He gave them this commandment to say, take dominion of the earth. And they were designed to take that relationship to the nations of the earth and spread it everywhere. But obviously, they messed it up. And so God, what did he do? He got a hold of Moses. He got a hold of Noah, on and on and on, all the way down to you and I. And he's handed us the call to go. I have someone else I want you to, some of you guys know him. He's a pastor here at Bethel. His name is Fikri Yusuf. I wanted him to be here today to talk about what God is doing all around the globe when it comes to reaching the nations. But he could not this morning because he is currently in, he left yesterday, speaking today in Egypt. But I FaceTimed him this week and we recorded. I wanted you to hear just what God is doing specifically in Germany with all the Syrians that are coming in because what's going on with ISIS. And also in Latin America. Let's hit the lights and roll the video.
Guys, I really hope you're enjoying the message today. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted was I wanted Pastor Fikri to join us today, but he could not because he's heading to Egypt. So I have him here on FaceTime to really give us an update of what God is doing around the world. Pastor Fikri, I know you've been traveling a lot. You just got back recently from Germany. Can you tell us in Germany, I know the Syrians are coming over in Germany. Our church is there. Our Every Nation Church is there. We want to reach out to them. You were recently there. Tell us what God is doing in that nation.
Hey, everybody. So glad to be with you. Thank you, Pastor Lance. I'm excited of what God is doing in the nations. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 2 that God tells Jesus pretty much, ask me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And then Jesus said that everything that is his, he is granting to us. Mm-hmm. So we can assume from scripture that the nations are our inheritance and we have to go after it. We have to go and reach them and disciple them. Mm-hmm. The commandment of Jesus is go and make disciples of all the nations. So as Pastor Lance said, I have been traveling quite a bit lately. As you watch this recording, please be in prayer for me right now. Basically, while you're watching, I am speaking in Cairo, and I'm believing God for great things in the nations. We go to make disciples. Last year, I've been in Germany to help some of our Every Nation churches because of the situation in the world. There's a lot of people leaving their home country and flocking to Europe, looking for a new life, looking for just a better life, pretty much. And many of them have not had the chance to hear the message of the gospel. So regardless of our political position, this is a tremendous opportunity to speak faith, to speak life, to preach the gospel, to bring hope. We do believe that the gospel is the hope of the world. We believe that Jesus is the answer to the human crisis. We believe that Jesus is the answer to every human problem. So as we go there, people are open. I had the opportunity to speak with so many people on this last trip in Germany that their heart is just open for the gospel. They're willing to know.
That's tremendous. And I know you went from Germany to help them there, but now you also just got back from Latin America. You spent many days in Latin America helping our Latin American pastors there. Tell our church all about what God's doing in Latin America.
Well, we believe in God for a revival in Latin America. Many years ago, the Lord showed me that He will use the Latin church and the Latinos as mission sending base to the Middle East and to the Arab world. And this is not just a crazy idea. Actually, a lot of missiologists, a lot of students of missiology wrote doctoral dissertation, master dissertation about the effectiveness of the Latino church in the Middle East. So as every nation, we're investing a lot in Latin America because we love Latinos, but also because we believe they're gonna be instrumental to reach the nations of the world. Just came back from Lima, where we had our pastors from all over Latin America. It was Pastor Kevin, Pastor Philip, Pastor JT, myself, speaking life, believing God. Pastor Ali as well was there, and believing God for these churches to continue to grow. One thing I can say is that God is up to something in Latin America. People are on fire for God. They're hoping for the best. They're willing to go. They just need to be trained. One thing every pastor and their wife told me, we need training tools. We need somebody to help us. We need tools to help us to continue to grow our churches and to grow our ministry so we can reach our nation and the nation of the world. So I've got a lot of hopes for what God is doing in Latin America. I was in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic a couple of months ago leading a marriage retreat. On the beach, I have to say that was very nice. But the retreat was pretty amazing just to see dozens of couples open their heart and say, we want to make a difference in our generation and in the next generation as well. So great things happening in Latin America.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Fikri, thank you so much. Obviously, we are called to go to the nations.
Too strong. What I don't want you to miss about that is that we're not just reaching people, but you hear what he talked about. He talked about how we're training these people to go as well. Let me tell you, when it comes to the beach in the Middle East, Miss Jan, you can come on up. Pastor Richard, help Miss Jan up here. When it comes to reaching the Middle East, faces like me are not going to reach the Middle East. I stick out like a sore thumb. When a white man shows up in the Middle East, nobody's going to listen. But we believe, in other ministries and other churches believe that it's the call of the Latinos, Latin Americans, they are the ones, and also I believe the Asians in Manila, that they are the ones that are called to go and see the Middle East. Let me tell you something. God has not forgotten about the Middle East. He has not. And he has a plan, whether we clap or not, he has a plan to see the Middle East change for the glory of God. It's not like he set it to the side and say, I'm distancing myself just because Islam, God's not scared of Islam. This is actually why many people in Africa that are in the Muslim faith are getting right with Jesus. Because Africans are not afraid to talk to Muslims. We are in America. We're scared to death. Now, you soldiers aren't scared, but most of us are scared. We're afraid to talk to them. Africans, they are bold as a lion. They don't care. This is what you're a part of. We're a part. You're not just a part of a little old church with a brown barn looking building. You're part of something that's so much more. We take 10% of our budget, 10% of what you give here, and it goes to reaching the nations. To reaching the nations. Psalm chapter 2. Jesus says, I'm sorry, actually David is writing here. He says in verse 7, he says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Listen what he says next. So this is a father-son relationship. This is the relationship that you and I have with our daddy God, with our heavenly father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. This is a father telling his son, son, just ask. Just ask, and I'll give it to you. Just ask. We as a ministry and as a movement, we're asking. But in that asking, let me tell you what it takes. It takes laborers, individuals like you and I stepping up and say, God, I'm going to live my life with no regrets. I'm getting in the game. I'm jumping in. I love what Adrian talked about. Because Adrian, what she did is she boiled down the Great Commission for us. Because it does seem so large at the beginning. I mean, when you look at it, the nations, oh my gosh. I have a little statement here to help us. Really something very practical that we can walk away with. Is that we can do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. We can do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. As a pastor, I have to live my life like this. Because I would love to be friends with every one of you guys. Spend time with you, go to dinner, counsel you, whatever you need, all that stuff. Meet with you personally, one-on-one every day. I'd love that. But that's impossible. But I can do for one what I wish I could do for everyone. I might not can't minister to every marriage personally, but you know what? I can minister to one marriage personally. I can't reach everybody with the gospel, but yet I can reach one person with the gospel. This is why when we give of our, we're talking about this in the month of February. Why we sow and give our tithe, every single amount of money that is given is vital. It's important. That's why you might not be able to reach every nation, but you can be a part of reaching one nation. Let's go from here. Let's take this thing that's so big, let's boil it down and say, what can I do for one that I wish I could do for everyone? So some of us today, it's coming to this interest meeting next Sunday, saying, man, I'm going to live with no regrets. I'm going to get involved. For some, it's like Adrian, she talked about, I'm going to find a missionary, and I'm going to support that missionary. I can't support every missionary, but I can support one missionary. I'm going to find an Adrian. I'm going to find an Aaron Rooks. I'm going to find a David Fisher, a Vince Ruta, a Heather Thaler. I'm going to find somebody. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do for one what I wish I could do for everyone. Pastor Richard, come on up. Something we have, guys, coming up in the month of August, and I want to begin to prepare you guys for this now. It's every year every month in the past, we've received a missions offering to support our missionaries. But we're going to change the way we do that this year. And one of the reasons why is because I can believe that, number one, we're able to, by doing what I'm about to talk about, we're able to get more people involved. And number two, it's going to give us an opportunity to raise more money to give into the nations. So this year, in the month of August, we're going to put on for the first time ever, Pastor Richard, I know you're excited about this, even though you don't play, a golf tournament. We're going to put on a golf scramble in the month of August. So if you want to come laugh, come watch Pastor Richard play.
I'm going to tailgate while y'all are playing.
Yeah, you just...
They do tailgating in golf?
No, tailgating? No, Chip.
I'm going to be flipping over wrong burgers sport, and brats. Ha ha!
Now, that would be cool. We might do that, though. That would be fun. One of the tee boxes have burgers. That would be awesome. Let's do that. I love that idea. And you'll hit a tee shot so everybody can laugh. And so don't... I'm just kidding.
That's
so we're going to put on our first ever golf scramble. What we're going to do is, here's what I need. I need 18 individuals to step up. 18 individuals to step up and say, I will personally be responsible for leading a four-man team. And that four-man team is responsible for, number one, playing in the tournament. Unless, like Pastor Richard, he's probably not going to play, but he's still responsible to get a four-man team.
I have golf clubs. I am playing after I grill some burgers and brats.
Okay. Hopefully playing. That if you don't, you can get your own four-man team. But also, what we want to do is we want each four-man team to raise $1,000, each four-man team. So whether that's each individual paying $250, whether that's everybody raising the amount of money, whether that's somebody just saying, I'm going to front the $1,000, whatever it may be. Now, here's the good news. Because it's related to missions, it's tax deductible. So this could be, if you give the $250, if you're playing, this could be your month, your yearly missions gift to Bethel Missions, to our missionaries. You say, well, I'm not going to play. Well, that's okay. We're going to receive also, as we get closer to the date, we're going to receive one big offering the Sunday right before the golf scramble. And so think about it. If we have a four-man team, that's already $18,000 we have to give to missionaries. This is the way that we can get more people involved, not just at the church, and get your buddies involved. I'm getting some of our other Bethel churches involved. We're going to see this thing be a great first event. Amen? Pastor Richard, why don't you pray for us as we close here just about this whole idea of the heart for the nations.